Thank you, Paul.
Good evening, everyone. The thing about the beautiful feet is definitely metaphorical. It's not literal. My wife can attest. Okay, let's not go there. We don't need to talk about that. Yeah, I do have my cuter and much more fun half tonight. My wife is here, and my oldest son, David, is also here with us, and we are so thankful to be here. I want to begin the way I always begin. Thank you. Thank you, Southgate Church of Christ, for your partnership with EM. It means more to us than I could possibly express in words to have great partners like you. And with all of our hearts, we seek to be good stewards of the gifts that we are given. Couple things to notice real quickly. I have a lot to tell you and not that much time, so we better get with it. You know our motto, the Bible, we want everyone to get it. One thing you might notice is our logo. We are kind of shifting a little bit. It used to have EEM and then have Eastern European Mission underneath, but we are moving away from that, and the biggest reason is God is calling us outside of our normal operating boundaries. God is saying, you need to come over here. In fact, God is nudging us. And sometimes we feel like God is doing some of that. Go, go, go. We're okay. Couple of quick examples. As you know, and I'll share with you just a little bit more in a few minutes, God is called EEM to bring Bibles into the amazing, unprecedented movement among the Muslim refugees. And a large portion of this is taking place in Athens, Greece. Well, Athens, Greece is not Eastern Europe. But we believe that God was calling us to participate in this amazing movement of God by bringing the Bibles. We're putting Bibles in schools. I'll share a little bit more later in Croatia and Serbia. We're putting Bibles in Bosnia and Herzegovina, Macedonia. These are not Eastern European countries. We are also distributing Bibles this year into Kazakhstan. Now everybody knows where that is, right? You may have to Google that. Kazakhstan is bordered on the north and a little bit west by Russia, and then on the east and a little bit southeast by China. A door opened for us. Our guy in St. Petersburg knew someone who knew someone, and the Almaty Church of Christ in Kazakhstan became our distribution point for the entire nation, and the door is open. We'll distribute five figures, over 10,000 Bibles and Bible-based books in Kazakhstan this year. Almaty, Kazakhstan, you look it up on the map, it's 175 miles from China. That ain't Eastern Europe. But we believe God was calling us, and we have the capacity to do this. Wish I had time to tell you all about that. We've brought in some people to help us with new technology and supply chain management, software development and logistics and all that kind of stuff. God is challenging us to be better at everything. And so we believe we have to answer that call. We have to be better at distribution. We have to be better at logistics and supply chain management. We have to be better at staying on top of technology, all that kind of stuff. So it's a great challenge, but it's very exciting. But we're in Kazakhstan because we believe God was calling us there. And our VP, Bart Rubinsky, and our marketing director, Brooke Kale, traveled to Kazakhstan earlier this year. And they sat down with the guy that's in charge of our distribution in the nation and listening to what's going on. And then they asked him the question, which is usually a loaded question. What else do you need? Maybe we shouldn't ask that question anymore. No, just kidding. So he asked this guy, what do you need? He said, well, you know we're so many kilometers from China. You know that the Chinese government is cracking down on Christians in China. pretty serious crackdown in a lot of places. The underground church movement in China is exploding. And the government is kind of cracking down on this. And he said, we're just, how many kilometers is 175 miles from China? He said, we are seeing Chinese believers coming into our region. Do you guys have any Bibles in Mandarin? Are you kidding me? Do you know how many Chinese there are? We're not there yet. But that's not Eastern Europe. But we have to keep our minds and our hearts and our wills open to the leading of the Spirit and not close our mind. And when opportunities are presented and doors are open, we have to be ready. So, I don't know. But we're just saying, we're kind of going the way of UPS, used to be United Postal Service, now UPS. IBM used to be International Business Machine. It's their company outgrew their original name, and that's basically what's happened at EEM. Our ministry is outgrowing Eastern Europe. So I just wanted you to know that before we moved on at all. Quick reminder, this is what we do at EEM. EEM distributes Bibles, now we say, in Eastern Europe and beyond, to anyone who requests, free to all. That's what we do. And the reason we do this is because we believe in the power of the double-edged sword of the Word of God. Amen? We believe in the power of the seed, which is the Word of God. And we believe not just because we read about it in our Bibles, but because we've seen it on display over and over again. Our theme this year at EEM is a new day. It is a new day in so many ways. We're going to dive into that for the next few minutes. Jesus talked a lot about farming, you know. Told a few parables about farming. I have a parable of my own. I grew up on a farm, I don't know if you knew that or not, in southwest Kansas. I got out of there as soon as I could. It was not for me, but I learned some great life lessons growing up on the farm. I have a parable tonight about farming. It's called The Parable of the Barren Field. Once there was a farmer who had a field that was barren, just he could not get anything to grow in that field. Planting, working the soil, trying this, trying that, a few sprouts here and there, but mostly nothing. And after several years, he abandoned the field. Years later, he decided to come back and revisit that field. And while he was gone, someone had been working the soil and had done some heavy work turning that soil over and then plowed it in these perfectly straight rows. It just looked absolutely ready for planting. So the farmer decided to test it out. He planted some seed in the corner of the field and an amazing yield, better than any of his other fields. So what should the farmer do next? Plant all he can, right? When the soil is good and the seed is good, the harvest is going to be good. He might even go get one of these rigs, you know, so he can plant. And then before long, you'd have this, and then before long, you'd have this, and there'd be a great harvest. That field is the field that EEM is now working in. Once was barren, and suddenly somebody has been working the soil. I wonder who. And suddenly this field is ripe for harvest, ripe for planting, and then ripe for harvest. And I want to tell you a little bit about that, the new day at EEM. First of all, talk about the field as it existed, the barren field. You know Lenin and the gang took over in 1917, established the Soviet Union. Part of their strategy for decades was to remove all traces of religion, especially Christianity, including the Bible, to remove that from society. They were very active and proactive and very aggressive and very successful in doing this, removing the Bible from society. And when Stalin took over, especially after World War II, when he started grabbing those Eastern European countries, exactly the same strategy. And when I was growing up, if you would have asked me, you know, who would be the toughest group of people on the planet to reach, I would have said the Soviets. They went from town to town. I don't know if you know of this strat. They would go from town to town, a division of the military, especially in the 20s and 30s. And they would gather the people of the town at the town square, and they would ask them the question, are you with the Marxists, the communists, or are you with the believers? And boy, you would have the opportunity right there to make your stand. And people that said they were with the believers, most of those able-bodied men were shipped to the coal mines, and the rest of the people were put on cattle cars and shipped to, anybody know? Siberia. And yes, those are children, where millions died in the gulags, the labor camps. Many more people died in labor camps in Siberia than in the German concentration camps. That's part of that old barren field. You see why it was barren, right? That was just one of the many atrocities committed under the reign of Joseph Stalin. Another one of those was in the nation of Ukraine, interestingly enough. And what Stalin did, the Ukrainians were kind of a burr under Stalin's saddle. They were very proud people, a very nationalistic people. They did not appreciate being annexed into the Soviet Union at all. And Ukraine has a rich, rich farmland running through most of that country. So Stalin decided to teach them a lesson. He sent military into Ukraine. They seized planting seed. They seized livestock from the farmers. And they seized food, took it away, and then closed off all supply roads into Ukraine. Can you guess what happened over the next couple of years? This is from the Chicago American in 1933. At least 6 million Ukrainians starved to death over the next 2 years. In Ukraine, they call this the Holodomor. Holocaust, that you've heard of, the word means execution by fire. Holodomor means execution by starvation. Many estimates are that it could be as many as 7 up to 10 million Ukrainians, all in one country, starved to death under the rule of Joseph Stalin. You can see why the field was barren. When the Soviet Union took over those Eastern European countries, they set up puppet dictators in all of those countries. This guy was one of those. His name is Nicolae Ceaușescu in Romania. His rule in Romania was so brutal and so vicious that when the Soviet Union fell in 1989, Ceaușescu owns the distinction of being the only one of all those puppet dictators to be executed by his own people. That tell you how brutal his reign was. And not just him, he and his wife, both. That's in Romania. I want you to remember these places. Siberia, Ukraine, Romania. If you would have asked any of us on September 12, 2001, the day after 9/11, who would be the toughest group on the planet for God to reach? We all would have said Muslims, right? Muslim extremists, terrorists, jihadists have wreaked havoc all over the globe. But for just a moment, I want us to remember what these terrorists, what they wreak, the havoc they wreak in their own countries. the oppression that is brought on the people in their own countries where they live. We met this woman. Her name is Behnuz. I told you her story 2 years ago. She is from Tehran, Iran. And she told us, she is now a Christian, by the way. That's another great story, maybe for next time. She's now a Christian. And she told us, she said, you know, I grew up all my life in Tehran, Iran. And she said, I would look around at all these things being done in the name of God, the name of Allah. And she said, I was disgusted. And she said, I would pull my daughter aside, 14-year-old daughter, and I would tell her, that's not God. That's not God. But who was I going to say that to? Outside the walls of my house. She said, we lived our whole lives in such fear. The havoc that these terrorists have wreaked, even in their own countries, is indescribable. You can see why that field is barren. But guess what? The soil has been worked. Now, if you know a little bit about working the soil, sometimes work in the soil can be kind of violent, right? I mean, what a tractor and a big plow will do to the soil, what a rotor tiller will do to the soil, digging down deep and turning that soil over. Sometimes it can be kind of tough on the soil. This is what has happened all over Eastern Europe and beyond. The soil has been turned over. And suddenly, it looked like this. Guess what? Guess what? Our God is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, right? I'm telling you tonight, God's not just able to do, God is doing immeasurably more than all we asked or imagined. Because in the same locations where the field was once barren. Are you ready? Are you ready? Here we go. A few years ago when the Soviet Union fell and doors flew open for EEM, we were distributing 60, 70,000 Bibles and books a year back in the 90s. In 2011, that number jumped to 189,542. We're distributing that many Bibles and Bible-based books. Last year, did I tell you God is calling us to get better? Do you realize what a challenge this is? But what an awesome, what a great problem, right? And you understand EM operates largely by responding to requests. Let's just say requests are up. Here are the in-between numbers over the different years. Requests are up. Doors are flying open, as I've shared with you, all over the place. God is on the move. And this year, EM is working on responding to requests that we have in-house for $1.4 million. Now, we're not going to be able to do all that. We're going to have to put some people off and say, wait, it's a new day in EM for another reason. We don't like that very much, but we're limited by our staff in Vienna and by the amount of money that we're raising. It's like God is moving and busting down walls and opening doors and charging through the doors. And then all of a sudden he's turning around, he's looking at us and he's going, hey, are you coming or not? We're back there. We're coming as fast as we can. How exciting is that? In places that none of us thought this would ever happen. And among people, none of us ever thought it would happen. Let's start in Siberia. When you hear the word Siberia, you think, yeah, cold. Vacation home in Siberia. Here we go. And you the gulags, the labor camps, you think of that. This year, EEM is distributing Bibles in Siberia, into retirement homes, into drug and alcohol rehab centers in Siberia, to a Roma, a large Roma, Romani community, the derogatorily known as the Gypsies, persecuted in Hungary and Romania, scattered all over Europe and beyond, a large Romani community in Siberia, found out about EEM. He said, "You have Bibles? Are you kidding me? How much are they? They're free? What? You have them in Hungarian?" So EEM is shipping Hungarian Bibles to Siberia. How fun is that? Bibles in Siberia to a Christian Teachers Association in Siberia. A what? You see what God is able to do? Turn the tables on a place that when you hear Siberia, what do you think of? All of a sudden now, when you hear Siberia, you can think something else. The field that was barren is ready for planting, open for planting. In Ukraine, the home of the Holodomor, I've shared with you every time I've been here the last 4 years, we're distributing Bibles in Ukraine into the public schools. You remember that? That is not slowing down at all. This year we'll distribute over 250,000, mostly into public schools, so they can teach Christian values in their public schools using the Bible as a textbook. In Ukraine, is God amazing? The home of the Holodomor, the people that have suffered the most, that's where God is opening the doors now. Does that sound like God to you? That sounds like my God. And amazing things are happening in Ukraine. I've shared with you the initiative of the Bibles in the schools in the regions that have the Bibles. Academic performance and test scores are up and discipline problems are down, right? Shocker. But in the regions that don't yet have the Bibles, it's opposite. And now all the way to the Minister of Education herself, this initiative is supported. The new president of Ukraine, you might have heard of him a little bit in the news, is very aware and very supportive of this initiative as well. By the end of this year, EEM will have distributed Bibles into 70% of all the public schools in Ukraine, over 3.5 million. We still have 30% to go. And now this initiative of Bibles in the schools is spreading. People are hearing about this in other countries, and they're going, where did you get the Bibles? We don't have any money, but we want to do this, but we don't call EEM. So this year, EEM will distribute Bibles into the public schools of 6 former communist-ruled countries. You could say woohoo or wow or anything, whatever you want to. Is God amazing? 250,000 in Ukraine, 167,000 in Romania, the home of Nicolae Ceausescu, the most brutal puppet dictator of Eastern Europe, right? And now the doors are wide open in Romania. And I share with you a couple of years ago, most of these are going into the schools in a little region of Romania called Transylvania. I've been working on that. I need to work on it a little bit more. Anyway, and our distribution arm is the Red Cross, which is just kind of fun to me. Bibles in Transylvania using the Red Cross, and 167,000. You remember in 2011, just 8 years ago, we distributed 189,000 total everywhere. This year, we're 167,000 just in Romania. The places where the people have suffered the most are the places where the doors are flying open the fastest. Sounds like God to me. Over 110,000 Bibles in schools in Croatia, 42,500 in Serbia, another 30,000 in Hungary, and this year for the first time Bibles in Bulgaria into the schools, public schools. And it's just beginning. It's just beginning in these other countries. Our guy in Croatia just told us he probably has another 100,000 ready to go. Requests in-house. Ukraine, 2 more regions just outside Kyiv, the capital city. I'm telling you, God's on the move. And we're running, not walking, trying to keep up. it is truly a new day. I've also shared with you the amazing work about the Muslim refugees, churches, ministries reaching out to Muslim refugees, refugees being touched and moved by Christians supposed to be their enemy, loving them, loving your enemy, open the door. I don't know. How about that? Isn't that interesting? You might want to chew on that for a little while. Loving your enemy opens the doors for the Spirit of God to come in full blast. Okay, enough of that. Go home and chew on that. This is one of those refugees that came to Christ. You met Behnuz. This is Masood. He came from Afghanistan. Google that. That's a long ways from Afghanistan to Athens, Greece. He came to Christ 4 years ago. Since then, he's been leading and teaching a Bible study for Farsi-speaking refugees in Athens, Greece. He personally has been involved in the baptisms of well over 200 of those. And earlier today, this Sunday morning, there was a new church plant in Athens, Greece. They probably had well over 500 ex-Muslim, now Christian, Farsi-speaking refugees, Christians, meeting in Athens, Greece. Masood is one of the leaders of that new church plant. They are writing and singing their own praise psalms in their language. Tamara and I got to hear this back in June. Writing their own praise psalms in Farsi and singing them. God is on the move among people we never thought. Field was once barren. Now, it's ripe. That baptism happened just the week before we got there. That's Masood on the left, just another. I could tell you a lot more stories. I could go on and on and on. I have stories. Tamara and I went to Ukraine. We went to a church planting seminar there. We met a couple. I wanted to hear some of the people's stories. Tell me your story, how you came to Christ. And suddenly we met this couple. The guy, a little older than me, he told me, he said, in the 1970s, I was a Soviet policeman, Soviet cop. And my job, he said, was to locate gatherings of Christians. That was my job. Find out where Christians are meeting secretly, and then act like I'm interested and infiltrate, then take some names down and report. And he told us, breaking down to cry, I didn't arrest people personally, but I know people were arrested, people were in prison, people were sent to the gulags because of what I did. In the 1990s, he came to Christ at one of the many revivals that sprung up all over Ukraine. And then a few years later, he was watching TV and he saw Sasha Prokopchuk on TV. We support this guy who has a national TV show and does a great job. And he's the one that puts on these church planning seminars. And he was talking about one of the church planning seminars. And Victor said, we're going to go. And Victor and Slava, his sweet wife, went to the church planning seminar and have been every year since. Today, Victor is a church planter. He just planted his fourth house church in his hometown of Kryvyi Rih. And the reason they had to plant the fourth is because the second and third ones have outgrown the houses where they were meeting. The guy that used to work with the KGB to locate and infiltrate and spy on Christian gatherings is now planting Christian gatherings. I could tell you stories. I could go on and on. The amazing things that God is doing. Let's sum it up. Let's finish up with this. You guys are involved in Mission Sunday coming up, I understand. Praise God. Thank you. And I commend you for your passion for taking the gospel all around the world. It has been my observation and sometimes personal experience in working with churches for 35 plus years that everybody loves the harvest. We love the harvest. Tell me about the harvest. Right? And sometimes I feel as though we're driving up to the edge of the field with our combines, and we're ready for the harvest, and we're saying, okay, let's harvest, let's go. And we're looking around, there's nothing to harvest. And finally somebody goes, hey, anybody plant any seed? Oh, yeah. Before you can harvest, you got to plant. And this is what we do. We plant the seed of the Word of God. And right now, we're planting it in soil that was once barren and is now ripe for planting and eventually a great harvest. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for once again tonight revealing yourself to us, for showing us who you are, your great power, your majesty, your creative genius, finding ways to reach people that a lot of us thought were unreachable. Thank you for showing us who you are once again, Father. I thank you for open doors tonight. I pray for continued open doors. And Father, would you please give us the faith and the courage and the energy and the resources to charge through those open doors as long as they are open. Father, I pray for this sweet family of your people here for the Southgate Church of Christ. My prayer tonight is that your kingdom would come and your will would be done here in this place among these people, just like it is in heaven. In the name of Jesus, and amen. We're going to sing a song in just a moment. Maybe you've come tonight and you've been moved by the love of God and the amazing ability of God to reach people, including you. And you want to give your life to Jesus Christ tonight to be baptized in his name. Let this song be your opportunity to come down and let somebody know that. Or if you've come tonight and you're wrestling and hurting, struggling, and just want somebody to pray with you, to pray for you, let this song be your opportunity to come down and let somebody know that as well. You have that kind of need, please come as we stand and sing.